I'm going to do one more belch.
Do it.
Sorry, that was two, but they were close enough together.
I'm so jealous.
I'm keeping it in. That's right, before the theme song starts. Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. And this week, we're going to be talking about the ladies who inspire us to watch them and often destroy their lives when we get tired of watching them. We're talking about starlets. And we have two amazing returning guests. First, to paraphrase the immortal words of the prophet Nick Jonas, she means no disrespect. It's her right to be hellish. She's still Kate Dellis. Welcome back, Kate. Awesome.
Oh, I feel great about being back. I want to be introduced by a Nick Jonas quote for the rest of my life.
I've been juggling that since we discussed this, and it's been, for the listener, this episode is like 8 weeks in the making,
We got 8 weeks jokes just bursting at the seams to come out of here.
We're real backed up.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. We're going to have to massage this one out a bit.
But yeah, I had been like since the last time you were on, I would listen to Jealous, and I was like, God, I got to do something. Next time Kate's on the show, I'm going to use that because it's just like it flows. And then, and then I started I had to re-listen, and then I was like, oh, wait, the lyrics are on the internet. You don't have to listen to this song over and over and over again and then try to remember what the lyrics are.
So that's a great way to go. Yeah. Dellis is pretty good for rhymes. Regalia. Doesn't quite work.
Not a lot. You know, people just would give me ravioli in elementary, middle, and high school.
Need a
pia.
That
doesn't rhyme with anything either, really.
Yeah, ravioli doesn't. Ravioli has no rhymes, unless you ask Eminem, and then he'll say syringe.
Right. Or put a lady in the trunk and kill her.
Yeah, exactly. That guy rules. Love him.
he's got healthy emotional situations.
Yeah, resistance king Eminem.
So welcome back, Kate. How do you feel about starlets?
Deeply connected with them, as one in many ways. As a rising starlet, I do feel like I bring some sense of authority to this podcast. I love women. I love Hollywood. I love Hollywood trivia. I love the reckoning that is currently happening over the way that we were treating many starlets over and their mental health issues over the past century, but especially, you know, within our contemporary lifespans.
Hashtag
Free Britney, an incredibly powerful story. I'm so into Free Britney. I love that we're all thinking about her again. She deserves to be thought about again. You know,
she gave us so much. And honestly, when you go back through all the documentary stuff and how just brutal everything was to her, she's a mess. And even, you know, especially the Justin Timberlake was a piece of shit because he's going on shows being like,
she's crazy and she isn't a virgin. Let's take her kids from her.
Right.
I love her so much. And I'm really happy that we're getting a chance to talk about and even the fact that the conversation has opened up more, like seeing the way that we treated Lindsay Lohan, who's inherently less likable and redeemable, but is still like a young woman who was brutalized by all of it.
And she probably just broke faster, right?
Britney
Spears lasted through her entire teenage into her late 20s before she snapped.
Yeah.
And Lindsay Lohan snapped at 19.
Exactly.
Like, I'm done.
And not only that, Lindsay Lohan was put into a position in which they were like, dance monkey, we're in charge of your life. You're not allowed to take out your IUD. You're not fit to be a mother, but you're going to make us money by dancing 80 hours a week. Anyway, Welcome to the podcast. I love starlets.
Welcome
Free
back,
Brittany.
Our second guest is a man who, like the Times Square ball, can be dropped to punctuate a moment. It's Mike Gravano.
There's a lot there.
There's a lot of, you took a lot to get there.
Well, you know, if a mic drop, if we were professional wrestling and somebody dropped Mike, it would be a good way to end a wrestling match.
I'll be honest, that part made total sense. It was the lead up involving the New Year's Eve ball drop. That was kind of like a red herring in terms of the themes I was expecting to deal with this pun.
Oh, you should have heard the original write was about Bruce Springsteen rewriting the lyrics to Thunder Road.
Mike Gravano.
I couldn't put it together.
So. My name is impossible. Thank you very much. I love so. Kate and I were on forever ago and did Italy, Sicily,
Sicilia.
Because we're all Sicilian. I'm dying to know, Nate. What made you think then? Like, I bet they both know a lot about starlets. I actually agree that Kate makes sense, but like, I'm just a dude. Man,
yeah,
I'm just a dude, man.
So I'm just a dude in this world. Guess, my favorite, like, No Doubt song.
Yeah, I'm just dude in this world.
I mean, Mike, you're short selling the fact that you are one of the preeminent film scholars of our era.
That's true.
And, yeah, your authority.
Films have starlets in them, so at very least, you've seen a lot of them, even if you haven't clocked them necessarily.
Yeah, and you know what? We are allowed to say that in this moment. He's just kind of riding my coattails, right? Yeah. Like, perhaps he got the invite.
For.
Yeah, he's my plus one to this event, and we're all comfortable with that.
And for the listener, Kate is wearing the Technicolor Dreamcoat from the Broadway show Joseph and the Amazing.
Yeah,
Technicolor
I look
Dreamcoat.
So incredible.
Mike is riding in on just a velvet rainbow. Right.
I've always thought of myself as a bit of a, what's one of the brothers' names? Jebediah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Obadiah. Hebediah.
I'm one of the brothers who will beat you up. Put goat blood on your coat and say, hey, dad, he died because of a goat.
You seem like a cool guy.
Hey.
And that coat, pretty ugly anyway. I don't even really like it as I go and I weep in the corner. It's okay. It's better with goat's blood on it.
So, Mike, starlets, what do you think?
Starlets, I've heard the name Hedy Lamarr. I could fucking do this.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that Hedy.
No,
it's still this Grinch. Show. It's
and that's a point. Show. That's a point for Nate.
I like
Ding.
That.
All right. Man. Hey, good. I get a point.
I think giving the host a point probably gets you a point. I gotta get on my game.
I know.
If we're allowed to do behind the curtain show a little leg, Kate has been up since 4:00 and mm-hmm. guessing that I've been up since 4:30 because I thought it would be unfair if I got to full night's sleep.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So you're equally compromised.
Well,
you're also actually
drunk.
Kate's been up. From East Coast 4, right?
Yeah, East
so
Coast 4.
2:00 here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
shit.
So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Right. And yeah. I'm still asleep, so I haven't even gotten up yet.
You know, that's part of the training as a starlet. You know, they give you your uppers, they give you your downers. You show up where you got to show up. You dance little monkey dance, and that's exactly what I'm doing when my mom takes me to the Cheesecake Factory to say welcome home for 2 weeks.
You
I'm just
on
doing
this
a little
tutu
dance.
And eat this massive portion.
Exactly.
That sounds like
and then go
dream.
Hang out with your toddlers.
So
yeah.
Show the Barnabys down the street that I raised you right.
Yeah, we did all take a nap today together. It was cute.
Well, hey, let's jump in.
Mm-hmm.
In lieu of the regular opening question that I have, we're going to play a game. We're going to play a new game called I See What You Did There.
Cool.
So with I See What You Did There, I'm going to give you some obscure clue that alludes to an answer that I am looking for that probably links a starlet. It actually definitely links a starlet to something else that isn't necessarily the starlet. It might remind you of before and after or something like that, but it's going to be too clever in the bad way.
Good.
So get excited. Kate, we'll start with you. Number one, an OG bottle blonde bombshell, this starlet to be ordinarily put denim in the oven.
That is nonsense. This starlet to be ordinarily put denim in the oven.
Oh.
Warm jeans, but wait, is this, I don't understand the conceit of this. Or unless we're talking, I'm just going to go Jean Harlow.
No, but I like okay. I like where your head's at. I think
I was like, what's an OG? Oh yeah, Mike, what is it? And then I'll know the rules.
I think it's Norma Jean, right?
What's your last name?
Baker.
Baker.
Yes.
Now I get it. Now I get it. Baker. Okay, Norma Jean Baker. Got it.
Yeah. I always forget she had a last name because there was a like grind metalcore band in the early aughts just called Norma Jean. And so they have totally made me forget that she had a
no.
Band. Yeah. And Elton John only calls her Norma Jean in Candle in the Wind pre-92.
Yes. Yeah. That's when Diana. Yeah, and then it became Die. That's when Die died.
Die Die and Dodie died.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Starlet. Starlet yeah. Diana. Anyway.
So I'm going to give each of you a point for that first one.
It's okay. A team effort.
Kind of a prize. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's hey, really
let's
good.
Fuck this system and just yeah, exactly. And do this together.
Exactly. The socialist way.
Exactly. We're all working together here. This isn't exactly. about winning this show. It's just about having fun.
Yeah. This is a podcast co-op.
And I do expect you'll pay me your fees for this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My dues.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. As long as we're cool. Number two, Mike, popping pills isn't keeping this ruby slippered attorney general from prosecuting Trump's associates.
Can you say it one more time?
Yeah. Popping pills isn't keeping this ruby slippered attorney general from prosecuting Trump's associates.
I mean, I want to say Judy Garland, but there has to be something else there, right? Or is that it?
Attorney General.
The Attorney General?
Is Merrick Garland. Oh, is Judy together. Merrick Garland. Is Judy Merrick Garland?
Very good.
Yes! Okay. I get that. Correct.
You see
that's
what I
good.
Did there.
Yeah, no, I okay. I think I'm getting it now. No, we're really.
This
I think,
time I get it.
Like, yeah, this time I understand.
one point each. That's what we're going to do.
Okay.
This is
unfair. I think I earned that one. I think
I
that
said
I got
name.
That one.
You just put the thing in the middle.
But I knew the Judy Garland part. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Give him the point. I don't freaking care. Let's go.
All right, Kate, number three.
Yeah, dish me the third. Go for it.
Check the tongue of this black widow for trademark spots, but be careful, she's contagious.
One more time.
Check the tongue of this black widow for trademark spots, but be careful, she's contagious.
Black widow. Scarlett Johansson is the black widow.
Yes.
Okay. So then check her tongue for spots. Be careful. Scarlett Fever Johansson.
You are correct.
Yes, nice. I'm getting it now. I'm getting it. There. I'm getting it now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
That's the name of the game.
All right, 1 point for Kate.
Hell yeah.
I should have been polite.
Mike, here's the last one.
Okay.
Okay. She was a former princess of Monaco, but she's also beside herself with boyfriend hubby Zach.
No, one more time.
Yeah. She was a former princess of Monaco.
Grace
but she's
Kelly.
Also beside herself with boyfriend slash hubby Zach.
Oh, Grace Kelly Kapowski?
You are correct.
Who's Kelly Kapowski?
Kelly Kapowski was Tiffany Amber Thiessen on Saved by the Bell.
That's right.
Okay, so you're being ageist. I see. Okay, so that's
wait, so
what happened.
The Grace Kelly part wait. Wasn't ageist?
Yeah, you got
no,
Norma
no.
Jean
there's
Baker,
that. No, there's that. Here's the unfortunate truth: is that you guys have hit that no man's land of old, in which it hasn't entered canon. A lot of your references, but it also isn't relevant there's, anymore.
So you're saying you didn't see Saved by the Bell, Saved by the Bell, the college years, Saved by the Bell, the new class, or Peacock's new reboot, Saved by the Bell?
Not a one. Was Mario Lopez in one? Right?
He was.
He's in all of them.
Stacy Slater.
He's all of them?
Yeah, he's in every single one of them.
Good for him.
And
Cash Cow.
He crushed the game show.
He did a 20-year arc of Saved by the Bell, Access Hollywood, and then now probably another 10-year arc of Saved by the Bell. It's the only way to live.
That guy's career rules. His life must be so easy.
Oh, yeah. With those dimples? Come on.
With those dimples? Kidding me?
So, Mike, I'm giving you the point for that. 3 points each for I See What You Did There.
Okay, that's good. That's fair.
You saw what I did there.
We saw.
We both saw.
Oh, this is bringing back, middle school fear.
No.
Hey.
What were you doing in middle school, Nate?
It certainly wasn't masturbating, that's for sure.
Not once. I've never masturbated in my life. That's what freaks do.
Master what now?
It's a fishing term. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Round number one. Kate, do you have a vague idea about Jean Seberg?
Yes, she's Nouvelle Vague, right? She's Breathless star, right? She's the one who kind of did the pixie cut and the New York Times t-shirt, no bra. She is gorgeous. Those are kind of the only things I really know about her, though.
Okay, very good.
I think those are good things. Those are a lot of good things.
That's good info. That's good info.
Yeah.
Mike, you know anything about Jean Seberg?
Jean Seberg, obviously not her given name. She got that she was one of the last survivors of the Titanic. And so she's like, I've just been like a maid before now, but I survived this traumatic incident.
Yeah.
That thing almost killed me. It gave me the ambition to go on and become that starlet. So I will take my name.
Yeah.
Seberg. Because she wasn't educated. She thought the iceberg was a Seberg.
She thought the iceberg was a Seberg. And anyone could have made that mistake, yeah. Especially uneducated Jean. What was she? All but one. She didn't know better. One.
Especially when they do come from the sea. I mean, it's frozen seawater.
Yeah.
No, it makes a Seberg makes more. It is a berg of the sea, not a berg of the ice.
Yeah.
Does that okay?
Ice is just an
iceberg,
like
on top of a glacier.
Yeah, ice is a state of berg, but its essence is sea, and this is what we need to be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
it's good. It's about time somebody.
Yeah, I'm glad we're being brave.
Kind of topic.
Yeah.
I'm only gonna call them Jean Seberg's from now on.
Yeah, when the Titanic hit the Jean Seberg.
Yeah, you both did great. Jean Seberg appeared in 34 films in Hollywood. She was in lots of the French nouveau films.
Breathless.
We already said that one.
No, I know, that's why I know it.
that just seems to be in the zeitgeist.
I think
Breathless is the main one that I know. But yeah, 34 films. And then she tragically becomes a target of the FBI COINTELPRO. During the 60s, because she was a supporter of the Black Panther Party. So J. Edgar Hoover did everything in his power to torture her until she committed suicide at age 40 in Paris.
That guy sucks.
And
I'm going to be brave and say it. Not a fan of J. Edgar.
Hot take.
Real piece of shit.
I didn't know she killed herself. That's so sad.
Yeah.
Especially because she seems chill as hell. She was in the Panthers when it was risky.
She's just Wakanda forever before anybody said it.
Exactly. She was the original Ruth Conda.
she was a really, like, really amazingly talented actress.
Yeah.
And the fact that, it's just this whole thing that basically, like, a bunch of false rumors about her leads that overzealous SS-style FBI to just ruin her life.
Not to be too corny, but I think the reason they are called starlets, because I just realized, like, a lot of this is kind of going to take melancholic tones at certain points because we're talking about starlets. And it's like, that's probably kind of why they're called that, is like, yes, they shine super bright, but there's also, like, all of them fizzle out. They're all of them have, they all burn out, you know? And so there is, like, this, we love them. God bless them. Thank you for being beautiful for us. And we're sorry for what we've done to you. Starlets, you rule. That's just my blanket statement for the episode.
I like it. Let's just cut it right there.
Including Scarlett Johansson, you're cursing her career. You're saying she's going to flame out soon.
Oh, God. You're right. I hadn't thought about her as a starlet. I think that she's a little... I think that her longevity might mean that she's no longer a starlet.
Yeah, I think she's now kind of a... She's like an actress.
Supernova.
Actress
yeah,
now,
she's like an actress. She's not, lived She's lived long enough to basically be old.
Just done a perfect score in Ghost World.
Yeah.
Starlet.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Or if those had steered her into like, she's got to like rock and bod, so she's going to be in a bunch of these stupid other movies instead. But she didn't do that. She went to
American
like,
Pie Band.
The girl with the pearl earring and all this stuff that didn't make any money.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm an artist.
Yeah. She could have done Lost in Translation as her like one-off, like the Misfits for Norma Jean, for Marilyn, where it could have been like, look, she has all of this potential, but then she needed to die like right after that for her to be a starlet. So I contest her status, Nate.
This whole thing's bunk.
Well, the good thing is we're already through. I see what you did there, so it's too late to argue. Great job, both of you, on Jean Seberg. I'm giving you each 2 points.
Heck yeah. I love how much Nate fundamentally misunderstands points.
I know. Look, I'm benefiting and I feel like that's unfair.
It's just that if you keep giving us the exact same number of points all the time, then they're not points.
I know. But isn't that kind of what life is?
Oh God, Nate, you made me feel a fool.
If this podcast and game were like life, I'd get 18 for no reason every time. Just because I'm a man.
Round number two, Mike, do you have a vague idea about Anna May Wong?
Anna May Wong, I believe, appeared in an astonishing 67 films in her short career. Burnt out, bright and strong, addicted to, at the time, they called it, I think they just said opium. And
orientalizing way of saying
as
that,
I was
right?
saying it, it freaked me out. I was like, oh no, I just couldn't think of an old codeine.
No, yeah, no, they would have been like, oh yeah, she was on horse, but she was too busy being like, you know, Asian.
I tried to.
No, she I know was, it wasn't was, you. I'm saying that I believe you. That like the Wikipedia page was like, and she was on opium the entire time with her little snuff boxes.
Triple threat in the style of old vaudeville. I'm done talking. Kate can jump in now.
Okay. Kate, anything to add?
You know, nothing too serious. I mean, she's a gorgeous, wonderful starlet who did burn out very bright, very early. I know her. The Met had this really awesome costume exhibit like back in 2014 called China Through the Looking Glass. We probably all remember it from when Rihanna wore that giant ass yellow dress. And so a lot of her styling was inside of that because she kind of represented that intersection of West's interpretation of East. And so the way that Hollywood styled her in her movies is kind of like a huge inspiration to a lot of designers who are trying to pull more like, you know, quote unquote, pan-Asian silhouettes into their clothes. So that's just me being hyper-educated and sharing that with you. But just that's what I know about anime. Yeah, exactly. I'll elevate it. I don't
bring
care.
It up.
It seems like Kate's making stuff up. I don't know.
That's
I don't
show,
trust
though.
Women when they got all those words in their brain.
Where you get a dictionary from?
The Met. Like the baseball team has a museum.
And if they do, they're not talking about chicks' clothes, that's for sure.
Like Keith Hernandez is gonna like a dress. Come on.
I think Mike should get a point for that joke. That was good.
Yeah. I'm gonna give him a point for that joke.
Yeah.
Anna May Wong was an actress who lived from 1905.
Anna May Wong.
1961. And her career spanned the silent and sound film era, as well as television, stage, and radio.
Wow.
She was born in LA to second generation Chinese American parents. And she was frustrated by the stereotypical casting in Hollywood during her lifetime, which we can all imagine. Means
let's go back in time and tell her it definitely changes.
Yeah, it's going to get better.
Yeah,
we're going to make one movie called Crazy Rich Asians that's going to come out 4 years ago and everything's okay.
Yeah, and it'll all be fixed.
Don't worry about it. She died of a heart attack her sleep at the age of 56.
Oh, that's young.
The dream.
2 days after she appeared for the final time on television on the Barbara Stanwyck show.
Oh, another starlet. Guess I don't know. Barbara Stanwyck might cross over into proper like veritable actress. She was very good for a very long time.
Yeah, she sort of endured through the whole thing.
Yeah, she played a lot of starlety, sexy baby roles for a long time, but her like quippiness.
Sexy don't babies we all? Need the most attention.
They need the most attention. Sexy babies need the most attention. Point to Nate.
Hey, all right. That's 2 points.
For dropping truths.
Great job, both of you, on Anna May Wong. Mike, 1 point because you're funny.
Uh-huh.
And Kate, 2 points because you had information.
Yeah, baby.
All right.
I made up a film number. I had information that I falsified.
Let's play our first game that isn't the game we already played. It's time for the Thunderdome.
Yes.
And this week in the Thunderdome, we have 2 starlets battling it out to the death. And let's they just happen to be related because they're sisters. You need to tell me who's going to win between Dakota Fanning and Elle Fanning.
Ah, interesting. I have strong feelings about this one. I think Elle Fanning is a bad actress. I think she is not interesting to watch. I think that she would be a great silent era actress. But I think that especially in like relief to someone like Anya Taylor-Joy, who I believe kind of does everything we wish Elle Fanning could do with her roles. It's kind of like, okay, you literally are just the younger sister of a child actress from a wealthy family. And that is why you are famous. Because I think that Dakota Fanning isn't necessarily a great actress. I haven't seen her work in years, but she was a great child actress. And she had a lot of really crazy, important, awesome roles that she was doing from a young age. I think that she is more important to the canon. I think that she was more interesting to watch on the screen. And I think that Elle Fanning is, I don't like her smile.
I don't like her smile.
And you also are on record. You don't like the fact that in Spanish, her name means the Fanning.
Does it? I don't think it does, Nate. That's not how that works. Ella.
Dakota was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood as
that's right
that was her,
and she was also in Ocean's 8.
I have not seen either of those movies. Eight.
Yeah, we watched it during quarantine, but it didn't leave an impression really on
I'd imagine.
I think if we're in the Thunderdome, I think Dakota, like their careers, Dakota's come in fast and furious. Not that she was in those movies, but her fighting style. She's going to beat the shit out of Elle.
There's two more movies. There's still a chance.
She's got the weight. Oh, man. That's the crossover everybody's been waiting for. The door's going to open from the feet up. Dakota Fanning? She's got the weight. She's going to beat the shit out of Elle. But then Elle, she's like just biding her time. And she's just like super great. And that's when she just punches 8 times with one hand. And
that's
then she's like,
right.
They call me the great, and just breaks Dakota's back on her knee.
She was really, well, I think that goes back to like her having a very specific aesthetic. Because I think that Elle Fanning is also, again, I don't like her acting style, but she aesthetically looked great in Super 8 the same way that she did in 20th Century Woman. I think that she has that like 70s girl next door beauty that's very distinct. And like, you know, there's a, she
center
does feel
hair
a slot.
That the kids want.
Yeah. It's all those center parted hair and straw and thin, like, and you know what I mean? And like a very specific kind of beauty that is dated.
I just decided when we said this was the topic, I decided I'm just not going to comment on any women's looks, so I'll leave that up to Kate.
Yeah, that's my role. That's how I make my living, is attacking other women physically.
But I respectfully disagree. I think she crushes in The Great. I think her and Nicholas Holt are like a great comedic duo, and then to be able to just act and breathe in those dresses is insane.
Yeah, that's true. To be a woman is cool.
To be a woman, it's cool.
I'm pretty into it.
Yeah, I mean, I've liked a lot of women in my time.
Yeah, I've known to enjoy a woman.
Who doesn't?
They're great company.
Yeah, great job. You're both absolutely correct.
2 points to us, Kate.
Yeah.
Just goes through his email once we start talking.
Yeah, no, I'm on her IMDb right now. I'm actually on The Great. Yeah, because I haven't seen The Great, but this actually does look really fun.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
it really is good. We watched the whole first season, and like it was kind of slow for 2 episodes, I think, and then it really picks up.
Yeah,
because they do. Her and Nicholas Holt play off of each other very nicely.
Nicole. I love him. He's good. Yeah. Now talk about a starlet in About a Boy, introducing Nicholas Holt's eyebrows, more like.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, she does look gorgeous in these promo photos. I take it all back. Elle's the more successful one. I lied. I feel differently about it now.
Wow.
I flipped.
No stick-to-itiveness.
Well, yeah. Good. Dakota's people are on the phone right now and they are disappointed.
They're like, please just give her a role.
Like, hey, look, we got the 2 worst states in the whole country, and now even Kate Dellis isn't in our corner.
Dakota. I hate that name. For a rich white girl. I'm Dakota. Yeah, I know. I like that the parents clearly like gave up and they're like, we're just calling the next one L.
just a pronoun in a different language. It's fine.
Exactly. Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah. Oh, it does mean L Fanning. I thought her name was Ella Fanning for a second, but that's my niece in the next room. Take a point away from me for just being obtuse.
That's okay. I'll just give myself an extra point and it'll all work.
Okay, perfect.
All right, great.
Ella Fanning.
I thought you were more acute than obtuse, Kate.
Yeah, no, I know. And it turns out I'm mostly right. I'm sorry.
Geometry jokes.
Isosceles. Yeah.
Isosceles, you isosceles, we all isosceles for isosceles.
That's a new home delivery sausage app.
Yes. Isosceles. I think it'd be sauce delivery. You get like five.
Ooh, yeah.
Five kinds of sauces
but
every
like
week.
Tiny, not enough to use, but just enough that you like can have a flight of sauces.
Yeah. Exactly, it's a flight of sauces. That's exactly what I was
going
to say.
This really belongs back in the Sicilian podcast.
Yeah, that's true. All right, I'll cut it into the old one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No one will know. Nobody will notice. So 2 points each on the Thunderdome. You did great.
Hell
wonderful.
Yeah.
Let's jump into round number three. Kate.
Dun, yeah. Dun. Yes.
Do you have a vague idea about Florence Pugh?
I do, but it is very vague. I think like many, I was introduced to her via Midsommar and was like, okay, this chick rules. And then I saw her in Little Women. I was like, and she's funny. And then I found out she's dating Zach Braff and it's like, and she's dumb. And so she's the triple threat, Florence Pugh.
She's
I like her
dumb.
So much.
She just has a 90s nostalgia that we all have right now.
Exactly. It's like, I love how you make jokes like my dad. I saw a really good like Clickhole article that was titled like Florence Pugh explains memes to Zach Braff.
Me and Donald Faison are just hanging out watching Scrubs together and
yeah,
talking
exactly.
About it.
Poor Florence is like on her phone on TikTok. Don't worry about it, Zach. Also, I think that she deserves an Emmy nomination for her YouTube video for Vogue in which she tries like 10 different traditional English meals and eats them all inside of like a fancy Gucci dress. It's kind of mukbangy and I've watched it many times. I'll send a link in the Zoom chat. Yeah. That's how strongly I feel about
excellent.
This video.
And I will share it. Notes. Yeah. I will share it in the show notes.
Okay,
the
perfect.
People
perfect.
Need to know. Great. Mike, anything to add about Florence Pugh?
I think one of the best actresses out there these days. And yeah. She is an excellent addition to the MCU. It was a great passing, in the middle of the 23 movie, but her addition, she crushed it because she can literally do any style of acting and she fits in with the smarmy, charming MCU perfectly.
Yeah.
And also, I've also only seen Midsommar, My Little Women and Black Widow. And I do not know where she's from because she has a different accent in literally everything she's in. So you could tell me any country. I'd be like, sure, that makes sense.
Yeah. Australian? And that's why you have to watch this Vogue YouTube video I just sent in which she tries 11 English dishes. Because trust me, she reads English by the end. Puts ketchup on freaking everything.
Wait, is that English? They're
it's
not
very
a mayo-based place?
No, they're worse than the rest of Europe, remember?
Fun fact, Florence Pugh's favorite food, straight mayonnaise with her hand.
Really?
Just scooping it.
She loves it. Well, an actually true fact is that Grimes, one of her favorite... Have you heard about the way Grimes eats?
I try to avoid Grimes as much as possible in my life.
Okay, well, Grimes ate nothing but pasta, like spaghetti for 2 years when she was trying to be vegan until her hair stopped growing and it turned out that she was malnourished. And so she's got the craziest eating habits of anyone I've ever met. I've never met her, but of anyone that I've ever heard. And she makes something she calls sludge, which is basically quinoa and like a bunch of vegan mayonnaise and mix it all up. And then she eats that and she's like, it's actually pretty good.
It sounds very healthy and totally it sounds not really cause good. Her hair to stop growing. Yeah.
It sounds like, yeah, just switch like, out the sludge for the spaghetti and she's
gotta,
maybe you got yourself a stew.
She's
got
to put some vegetables in the diet because who else is going to be around for AE-X12?
X. Apparently, Grimes's mom just calls the baby X. I'd hate to have to call my grandbaby X.
Just call him Kyle.
God, imagine Christmas with Elon Musk as your son-in-law.
Right.
Because you know he hosts every year because he's a billionaire. And oh, so yeah. It's kind of his take on Christmas. Mm-hmm. God, imagine going to Grimes and Elon Musk's Christmas party.
Literal hell.
I've invented a self-driving Christmas tree.
There's no way he's also the kind of person who puts every conversation about himself.
Yeah.
Here, I got you all free tickets to Mars for Christmas. Enjoy. It's like as well as a donation to the Human Fund in your name. yeah, great job on Florence Pugh. She is English. She's an English actress.
Makes sense.
She was born in Oxford.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sounds fake. That's the one place I would name too. It's bunk.
And she's good in everything she's in. Like I think
scientific fact.
Midsommar was the first time I saw her also. Mm-hmm. And I literally like what an amazing, I mean, just considering that like pretty much every Ari Aster film hinges on whether or not the actors can carry what he's trying to do. Mm-hmm. And she carries all of the emotion through in facial expressions in ways that very few people can.
Yeah, it's crazy. What she does in Midsommar is crazy.
And a huge sign she's a great actress is in Little Women. I'm sorry, My Little Women.
My Little Women.
She is the only one who plays all the ages, where they have to get other actresses to play the younger ones, right? And then they're like, she's just put her in pigtails. Now she's 12, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's believable the whole time. She's believable the whole time.
I love her. And her take on it, because, you know, I grew up with Little Women, both obviously the book as a woman, like you grew up with your girl books. I'm sure you guys read like, I don't know, Robinson Crusoe or whatever
novella.
Yeah. And then as a film person, grew up with a lot of the Little Women movies, because there've been like four or five. She's by far the only actress who's been able to make Amy seem like smart and self-possessed and human and funny, and like, you know, there's a reason, like, she's the most lovable of all those girls.
Are there four or five Little Women movies because each sister gets their own? So there's Beth, Joe, Amy, and then they meet up in Little Women, the Avenger style, it circles.
Yeah, the Little Women extended universe.
God, I really don't want to watch Beth.
Oh, look, she's feverish in a bed again.
Oh, look, she's at home dying.
Didn't work out again. Guess
she's the Hawkeye.
I thought this reboot was gonna go better.
Mm-hmm.
Who played Amy in the Winona Ryder Little Women?
Kirsten Dunst.
Oh,
that trick. Okay. She's really younger, good at being a shitty little kid.
The older one, like her older, her sexually mature version is played by someone I do not know. Yeah. Anyway. All right.
Well, yeah.
That's been Little Women Corner.
And was great in Black Widow. And I look forward to seeing what else she does, because she really stole that movie. Honestly.
Yeah.
Like that movie.
I think she steals
movies.
She and
David Harbour stole that movie together.
She's a thief.
She does. Like she swoops in but she's not like a scene chewer either. It's like it's amazing.
You just can't take your eyes off her.
Yeah, just it's in true. The corner crushing it.
Mm-hmm. Generational talent. Mm-hmm. May we never destroy her. And I think she's cresting the wave of being destroyed. So we're good.
Yeah, if she gets through the brass, then she'll be okay.
If she gets through the brass, then she's unstoppable. I bet if she gets through Braff, she wins an Oscar at the end of her career. By the end of her career.
Oh, man.
Yeah. If she doesn't, she won't. Best breakup. Zach Braff and Florence Pugh. 1,000% the Oscars should have a best celebrity breakup category. And there should be 10 nominees every year.
Yes. Netflix in there twice.
Yeah exactly.
A different Jennifer.
Yeah.
Best supporting breakup. I think we should just restructure the whole thing
around celebrity breakups.
Because that's literally what the viewing audience cares about. And the Academy clearly can't judge how good film is made.
No, the Academy is puts on a show to make money. They're not actually. So actually, they should start pivoting towards more Us Weekly type
It's about content. The art.
They're here to celebrate cinema, Kate.
Yeah.
The arts and sciences of motion pictures.
I love the sciences. Fuck the art. I'm just here for the science of
I'm here for it's all math to me, baby. That's all I gotta say. It's all just numbers.
Give me Jason Segel and a bunch of nerds 2 nights before the real Oscars. That's the award show for me.
Yeah, that actually sounds true, Mike.
I've watched a lot of that one.
No, for you to be able to say that, I was like, that's he's consumed. Yeah, you're
specific evening
talking about an evening that you consumed.
Yeah, great job on Florence Pugh. 2 points each.
Heck yeah.
Mike.
Yeah.
Round number four.
Oh, Christ, just keeps going.
You have a vague idea about
lying.
Zendaya.
Zendaya, I've heard that Zendaya is Michi.
God, I'm so glad they gave us that joke.
Then
their PR team.
they give us the joke. He gives the song. My wife slipped that into her wedding vows to me.
Did she really?
Yeah, true story.
Zendaya is Michi. Zendaya showed is up Michi. In her. How did that? How did
look,
she?
We
frame
got mad at a time where it was. She was just flowing, and then she's like, and we all know Zendaya's. She sang it. I'm trying to remember. I don't know if there was a smooth pivot.
She was flowing. It wasn't a smooth, but there wasn't a lead in. The truth just was self-evident.
What you have to remember at the time is that Electra Lemon's roommate, who sings that song, whose name I don't remember, it was all over right around the time we got married. I'm pinpointing exactly the era we got married in when everybody was singing that. She is a great actress. She is MJ, which made some dumb racists mad. In the Marvel universe now. She's a great actress. I think she has a Pugh quality where she steals it and elevates everything she's in. I haven't seen her biggest and best thing where she's Rue in, what's that HBO sex high school show? Euphoria.
Euphoria. Yes.
And then she's going to be in New Dune with little baby Chalamet.
With little baby Chalamet. I have never seen Zendaya in a single thing in my life.
Did you know she's Michi?
I knew she was Michi, and that's all I needed to know.
And that her best friend is Guanji.
No, now you're getting a little bit too deep in that canon, and I don't know that. I can only tell you the aesthetic truth that Zendaya is Michi.
I think
Danny DeVito is Gorgle.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot that there was like a playing card set that everyone knows.
Yeah, we traded them. Zendaya is Michi.
You know your lower back tattoo, Mike, that you say want revolution.
Uh-huh.
I want Zendaya is Michi.
I love it.
I want a lower back tattoo that says Zendaya is Michi.
I'll pay for it.
I'll Venmo you for that tattoo.
To do it right, though,
and hold your hand while you get it.
I mean, that is something I have genuinely struggled with my entire adult life, because I am a funny woman who likes being funny and has to avoid the. I think there has been so many times where like that would be a hilarious lower back tattoo. Mm-hmm. And then being like, take a step back. You don't actually want to turn your body into a punchline. And then being like, but have you thought about Zendaya is Michi?
Can your dating profile just be like, I'm a funny woman who enjoys being funny, and that's it?
Yeah, I mean, we could try
see
it.
See what you get.
Yeah, see what happens there. Maybe I just put Zendaya is Michi, and this evidence is, you know, it's self-evident, the truth behind it.
I kind of think no matter what, people are going to send you unsolicited pictures of their penises. Yeah, so.
It's true. And that has nothing to do with anything other than the nature of people who own penises.
It's true.
Yeah.
I've heard they're proud of monsters. Them, even when there's nothing
I hear
there.
They're monsters. Yeah. They're really into the fact that they have them, not even thinking about anything else about them.
Oh, man. Have you guys heard about this whole thing? It's like,
my
I would be too. I'd be obsessed. If I had single, a penis, I would be obsessed with it.
Well, they're disgusting. That's just they're true. Just weird little alien squids just permanently attached to you.
I know.
My bit when I was single is you take a picture of it flaccid and send it. You're like, no, because it's a joke. What up?
I like that a lot.
At least you're opening a conversation in a way that's like, hey, this I understand. You're lampooning popular culture. This is a meta commentary.
Exactly. This is a critique on dick pics and the creeps who send them. And I'm sorry if you weren't as woke as I was when you received my flaccid dick pic, but
turn it around instantly.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you guys don't understand pastiche, but you know how there's like a small pyramid and a tiny Eiffel Tower in Vegas? Well, my penis is pastiche.
Some call it the Vegas of genitalia.
What happens here stays here.
Yeah. It's really dry and hot. And
yeah, yeah, it's really dry and hot. What happens here stays here. So I beg you, get tested.
What happens here stays here.
Yeah, great, great, Mike. Kate, anything to add?
Zendaya.
Oh, she's sorry, you're right. You have to understand, I was exclusively thinking about Mike's Vegas penis.
Hey, baby, most people are.
Most people are. No, like I said, Zendaya.
He's waxed to a strip.
She's gorgeous. Too, things I know about Zendaya, he's waxed to a strip. Nate, yes, that's a good one. Nate point, absolutely. I know that Zendaya, that there was a huge moment in time when we all realized that her parents weren't good looking. We were all really upset about it.
I'm googling later.
I gotta look this up. Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay, yeah, no, add that to your show description as well, pictures of Zendaya's parents. It's really crazy. It was a moment where we were all like processing how beauty came about, because it's hard sometimes to know when it'll happen.
Oh yeah.
So we're not here to body shame starlets, but their parents are fair game, is what I'm
exactly
hearing.
Exactly. No, that's what I mean, is that she is like one of the most striking human beings on the planet, and her parents look like Midwestern.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
Yeah, they're just, right? they're very just,
those are just normal folks.
They're just normal folks.
Sort of striking.
Their pictures look like fans found her and made
it. No, exactly. That's what it is that it's just striking, because she'll like bring her parents on the red carpet, and it's like, why are my neighbors next to Zendaya? You know what I mean? Like, and they're just both so happy and smiley because their beautiful, talented daughter is bringing them to a nice place. I love her parents. But we were all like, wow, I think that there is something that I think what happened when we were all processing Zendaya's parents and their level of attractiveness was like, wow, she's like, honestly, probably a really good person because of that.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the idea.
I used to have a theory about like just that, you know, depending on the relative attractiveness of your parents and the relative attractiveness of yourself, that yes, you would like in the same way that you would go like, oh, if you have a prolonged adolescence where you don't really mature into your body, you develop traits that are beneficial to society versus just being like,
yeah,
I'm awesome the way I am. So yeah. Maybe
excuse
me.
Would you say that you speak from a place of experience with that one, Nate? Or
probably, yeah. Yeah, I would definitely say that. As I started saying, I was like, yeah, you know what? You've been covering for yourself there. This is a lot of theories come from life experience and how we need to rationalize our own gawkiness.
It's true. It's like, no, this is the reason that I'm weird, and it's legitimate. I don't know why everyone else is a freak, but these are the ways I have managed to compensate for all the ways that I'm deficient.
I think it was all the other kids who were weird for not being obsessed with hermit crabs.
Hermit crabs rule. And they move shells.
Yeah, I love
that.
And there was an article this week that said something to the effect of they become horny because
plastic
of
makes
sea plastics.
Them horny.
Yeah.
plastic make yeah. Crab horny?
Plastic meat crab horny.
Yeah.
You heard
that
it.
This is
right
huge.
Under, that goes right.
Okay, add that
Zendaya's
to the liner
Michi.
Notes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, we got it. Zendaya's Michi, also plastic make crab horny. I want that in the liner notes for this episode as well. Yeah. I think we need a link to that article.
I'd also pay for that tattoo on you.
Yeah. You're speaking now as if I wouldn't do it, Mike. And I would warn you before you start committing to thousands of dollars of joke tattoos that I will get
the best fucking tattoo artist
to put Zendaya.
I'm
going
to go to Ryan Ashley. So it's all jeweled and stuff. And just Zendaya's Michi around it.
Yeah, I'm going to get it. That's going to be my sternum. That's going to be a chest tattoo.
And people are like, oh, that's so nice. And they move and they're like, I don't know if you have you noticed that the shapes look like it says.
Yeah, it's a Rorschach test, but every single person gets Zendaya is Michi.
We're all just trapped in here with you, Kate.
I know.
Yeah, great. Great job on Zendaya. You guys are great. Euphoria is a very well done show, and she is brilliant in it. I recommend watching it. It is depressing and dark and complicated, though. So it's a heavy watch. Heavy watch. Yeah, great job. 2 points each for Zendaya. You're both wonderful. It's time to play our third game. We're going to play Fuck, Marry, Kill.
I love this game.
So for Fuck, Marry, Kill, I need you to decide between three starlets. We're talking about the Toyota Starlet, a subcompact car, the Starlet Stakes, a horse race held annually, and Starlets of New York, which is a gentleman's club.
Oh, on the West Side Highway? Yeah, I know the Starlets, whatever that is.
Kate's needed money a time or two in her life.
No, but I have driven down that highway and it's always tempting. Oh, God. Okay. I don't know, actually. I think kill, well, marry the car, because that just feels like an investment. That feels like a long term. No, think about the places we'll go. But think about where the, you know, like in terms of what it can give me back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
An asset. I think murder all those horses.
Oh.
And obviously fuck the strippers. Yeah.
All right.
Easy. Done.
You got a car full of glue driving to the strip club.
I got the car full of glue driving to the strip club, baby.
Great.
I agree. Kill the horse race.
Yeah.
Because at first I thought it was a steak brand and I'm upset it's not. So I'm going to make it a steak brand.
That's a really, okay. I think Mike should get a point for that because both the truth and the pun.
I will flip it just so we don't have the same. I'm going to fuck the car because I've been told I'm not into normal dude things and the way dudes talk about cars, I think they want to fuck their cars. So I'll try it and fuck the Toyota.
Exactly. You'll see if you want to be a normal boy, you'll fuck your car once.
I want to marry all the strippers at Starlets because reverse Mormonism. That sounds fun. I've seen Big Love. It seems like a cool thing. Not reverse.
Okay,
just normal.
Okay, that's not reverse Mormonism. No, marrying a normal bunch of women is actually as old as time.
And they will all have way more money than me. And I like to be a kept man.
Yes, kept by your harem of strippers. Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Tell me something wrong.
Yeah, I know.
you're both absolutely correct. The Toyota Starlet is a great little car. It's a great little car.
I mean, little companion. I need to know your answer.
My answer?
Yeah, you need to give your answer.
My answer? Well, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to marry that car.
Okay. Why?
None
of us are brave enough to kill the strippers, and that's us being.
No, I'm.
Society is positive sex work now, so we can't.
I was going to say I wanted to kill the strip club because, despite the positivity around sex work, the culture still isn't really
institutions around it are still pretty fucked up.
So I would kill the institutionalized nature of it, but if it's if it's like the Jennifer Lopez movie that I can't remember the name,
Hustlers.
If it's like Hustlers, where they're sort of running the show. Then I'm cool with that. Let's fuck with that and kill
rules.
Those horses.
Yeah, kill those horses.
We all can agree, kill the fucking horses.
Yeah, we can all agree we don't need those anymore. We have cars.
Horse racing is clearly abusive, right? There was some track in California or maybe it was upstate New York this year that they had like three consecutive weekends that four horses were had broken legs and had to be killed.
Horribly abusive.
Why are we doing this?
Because we like them go fast, Nate. Yeah. We like them go fast.
They
have kind eyes and they clearly feel things.
Anti-horse.
Kill them all.
You know, for a long time, I've had a theory that actually drag queens and horses share naming conventions, and every great horse name would be a great drag queen name, and every great drag queen name would be a great horse name. A great horse name, Trixie Mattel. A great drag queen name, Seabiscuit.
I'm just gonna go through a list of triple crown winners.
Yeah, sea biscuit. Yeah, sea biscuit.
Yeah, it's gross.
Point to Mike and to me.
There are
weird names because they're not allowed to have more than one horse registered in the national registry.
It's like clown rules. Every clown has to have a different face.
Yeah,
secretariat, obviously.
Secretariat. That's a very proper drag queen.
Secretariat would be a great. Yeah, it'd be like a little 1960s secretary character. It'd be
Gallant
fun.
Fox. Gallant Fox.
Yes. Gallant Fox would be okay. Now let me look up drag queen names, and then we'll be like, now that's a horse name.
American Pharaoh. One in 2015.
That's also a good one.
Seattle Slough.
Everything you're saying, you are right. Okay. Bianca Del Rio. That doesn't seem like a good one.
I don't think it's a good horse name.
Wait. Shangela Laquifa is a great name for a horse. Courtney Act. obviously Trixie Mattel, it's a perfect one. Adore Delano. Yeah, you know, I feel strongly about this. I think it goes stronger.
Barbie, it's more of like a nickname than the official name.
But... Sasha Velour. That's a great horse name.
That's a good sexy horse. Name. That's a good horse name.
Yeah. Trinity the Tuck. That's a great horse name.
Because that really describes what the jockey has to do too. They got to talk.
Exactly. Exactly. Jinx Monsoon. Yeah, this is this. I think I am right. I hit on a truth here with this.
A universal truth.
Yeah. All men in possession of a large fortune must be in want of a wife, and drag queens and horses should share names.
I'm, you know, really, we should almost stop because we're going to solve too many of the world's problems all at once.
Yeah, you're right.
And I feel like everybody's just going to kind of like, they're just going to lose the will to live.
Exactly. We need to pace out our brilliance.
It's going to be like the movie Zardoz with Sean Connery.
Also, I think, Kate, I think you said a great horse or drag queen name in there. What was the sentence you said? All men with a large fortune are in search of a wife. That's your horse name right there.
Yeah, right. That all men. This is, it's the first line of Pride and Prejudice, Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. It is a truth universally acknowledged that all men in possession of a large fortune must be in want of a wife.
I only read Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, so I didn't get that.
Yeah, excuse me. Well, I think that, I mean, I'm sure
it was changed
the first...
to must be in want of a knife for that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I think you're not wrong, Nate.
Yeah, I feel like I'm closer than
you're coming for Seth Graham Smith's neck.
Yeah. Didn't you study the English? What did you do in college?
I studied the English.
You studied the English.
I studied the English.
Mostly their naval warfare.
Yeah, yeah. I studied Lincoln.
The English. You know,
Lincoln. The English. My favorite Englishman.
Great job on Fuck, Marry, Kill. I'm going to give Mike 4 points and Kate 3 points.
Oh, shit.
I know. I think it's I deserve that. I mean, think about how genius saying drag queens and horses should share names. That's a genius thing to say.
Big. It's real big.
That's a big one. You guys will remember that. You guys will remember that.
It's going to be the hashtag that just blows this episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Drag queen horse names.
Horse queen drag names.
Horse queen drag queen
horse
names.
Horse queen drag names.
Another lower back tattoo.
How big is your lower back? Because you got a lot of tattoos.
Honey, I can make it as big as I want. Just give me a couple of years. Yeah, Mike, part of what Mike's bankrolling is not only the tattoo itself, but actually all of the donuts that he feeds me every morning as he fattens me up for all my joke tattoos he's dared me to get.
But just specifically in the lower back area.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to do anything anywhere else. I just
you
want
sell that property to somebody else.
Exactly. No, that lower back, that real estate, that's all that's prime comedy real estate, baby.
It's
that's
like
the
guy that took 10 grand to put Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan's presidential logo on his face.
That rules.
Remember that? Nice. Yeah, that guy tattooed the logo on his face for 10 grand because they were like, hey, if anybody will tattoo future president Mitt Romney's logo on their face, we'll give them $10,000. And the guy was like, I'll do it.
Okay, add that image to the liner notes to this episode. That's definitely needs to get to the, that definitely needs supplementary texts of this episode.
I truly understand. You gotta go to the extended universe.
This is our most postmodernist episode of
absolutely
idea, by far.
Yeah, absolutely.
James Joyce and
and Sea Biscuit. Sea dash biscuit.
CM dash biscuit.
CM dash biscuit. Okay, Jane Austen.
And now, from the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Française Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing.
Heck,
and the only thing that's French about it is the name.
Its name. I thought we were all going to do it together.
That's good. I love that. That's a really fun game that you have.
So, women have often been conscripted into the false categories.
Conscripted?
Both. There's a giant boa constrictor around all women, and it's called the patriarchy.
Especially strippers. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
They love carrying snakes.
Mike, we gotta go back to your penis thing?
No.
Yeah.
All right.
You can't go to flaccid dick well too often.
Yeah.
So women have often been conscripted into the false categories of virgin versus whore. But starlets have always been carefully sculpted into a mix of both
Two-face.
To fulfill the male gaze fantasy. What's wrong with men? And why must the lives of young women always rise and fall to their whims?
I'm going to let you guys field this one.
I mean, everything kind of started to crumble when, like, the agricultural society, right? We used to worship Mother Earth, and women were held in high regard. And then dudes were like, I hit the earth with my big plow. The plow has licked my dick. And now I'm the one in charge, ladies. I grow the cord. The cord is like my dick. That's why I'm in charge.
And now I build building. Look how tall that building is. It's, and look at that. That's also a dick.
It's
too,
dicks all the
it?
Way down, man.
Yeah, I know. I was, don't tell mom, on mushrooms semi-recently and looking around. Yeah, I was at an art exhibit looking around, and then went to the botanical gardens, and it was in Brooklyn. And so you could see all the skyscrapers and you saw all the flowers like right in front of you. And I was like, that skyline is so dude and gross. And I'm actually one with nature. And I had a profound, like, I felt very like in my feminine power in that moment.
I'm feeling really O'Keefe, and you're giving me too much Escher.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I'm really feeling O'Keefe right now. That's exactly what I was feeling. I was like, this is not matching the energy I'm bringing to this space right now.
But dudes are disgusting pig monsters and should be all put to death, I think, is the we're drilled down to it. Harvest the first seed.
Harvest Forest Four Seed. Yeah, that honestly doesn't sound awful for you guys.
Oh, I don't want it to be fun though. It should be Matrix style. Like, we are in an induced coma.
Did either of you see the meme that said that, like, Russia's putting VR helmets on cows that shows them like green summer pastures because they yield more milk this way?
No.
Whoa.
Which is the meme is like, that's literally the plot of the Matrix, but that's how you harvest our seed. I mean, we're pretty much
I mean, that's true. We put
there.
You guys, yeah, you guys sit inside of you guys are exactly someone needs to collect it, right? Yeah, like you guys are just doing a kind of DIY, everyone behind their own screen. Like, I'm finding my own pasture and I'll get the milk. Trust me.
Yeah, we just need a Futurama-esque system of pneumatic tubes.
Exactly.
It just carries it everywhere. And then the system is, you know, we can be completely out of it. And they are finally bringing
the shit.
Yeah.
Rule it.
Rule it. Take it. I don't want the responsibility anymore. I want my 50 stripper wives to feed me.
Please bring me pizza rolls and chicken wings. They're finally making a show about Why the Last Man, the comic book series. Mm-hmm. Which you're both familiar with it.
Very one of my faves.
In name, not I would not say I'm intimately aware.
It's phenomenal. Like, it's one of my favorite things that's ever existed because it directly explores, like, hey, what if just no more men? I mean, except for one particular why.
Ryan from my regular podcast, when we saw the trailer, had a very funny observation of a show brave enough of all women, brave enough to have the protagonist be a man.
Yes, right. Brave enough to have the protagonist be a man. Hell yeah. I remember growing up, because I grew up with sisters, very femme household, all of our Barbies, my sisters and I had like a running kind of narrative of it being a lesbian commune because we didn't have a single Ken doll. And so that's what I think about this is, like, I have actually played in worlds in which, and then I went to women's college.
Yeah, Barnard is Why the Last Man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So from a firsthand perspective, yeah, it rules. Because then the only dudes who are around are the dudes like you guys who are like, yeah, girls are cool. Don't even mind me. I don't even, yeah, no worries.
Cool. Yeah, like girls literally if you talk cool. to me, I'm probably gonna be like, oh, cool, you're talking to me.
Yeah, exactly. It's a different
I don't expect
approach.
Anything to happen ever.
Yeah. Wow, women are so strong. I like men who are like that.
We're whatever low T, I guess, is the
yeah exactly
the term that the incels use.
Yeah, exactly. You guys are soy boys.
You can tell because we both still have thick heads of hair.
Right. Well, yeah, all our hair is still here.
Some say soy boys. We say soy men.
Also Spanish for I boys.
I men. You're
put
right.
An iRobot.
I'm glad to bring the bilinguality of this podcast.
No, it's incredible, and thank you.
It's important. It's one of the it's one of the reasons why we're underwritten by the National Endowment for the Arts.
Yeah, exactly.
great job on La Chose Francaise Arbitraire. I mean, the only other reason I bring it up, and this kind of comes from listening to Movie of the Year all the time, but Greg will bring this up a lot, where Hollywood is designed to just devour young women. and destroy them.
It is.
And to sort of lift them up and then make it so in a very medieval way, it's like, oh, she's amazing. Now everybody throw rotten fruit at her until she dies.
How dare she think she's amazing after we're told
she's very Kafka-esque, right?
Oh, it truly is. It truly is. There, I mean, the film industry is like, yeah, I guess Greg has it. I mean, it's tailor-made for us to exploit women. Horn to hoof, like the whole from its inception.
Now you had your horns removed, women that right? Way.
Yeah. Say that again.
You had your horns removed, Kate.
Well, they made me. They said I was too tall to be in the pictures, to be on the big screen.
The hooves are still there.
The hooves are still there. Well, they make my ass look incredible.
Just the natural height.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And your knees are bent backwards, which is fun.
Yeah, it's true. I'm kind of Beelzebub style. But if Beelzebub had huge boobies.
Well, and you should see your dunk, too. Like,
it's true.
Crazy vertical from those reverse knees.
Yeah. I know. And that's why, like, I really do love. Yeah, I love women so much, and I love
and, I like the sincerity that just slipped in there.
You know, sometimes it slips out. They just rule, and all of them are. They can be so pretty and so smart and so strong.
All of them.
They all have it.
Their biggest flaw is putting up with schlubs like us.
Exactly.
And that's the thing, is it's like, it's literally all of these awful challenges and obstacles and difficulties that women survive every day that makes them into these incredibly strong characters. Like and men are the ones who always talk about those things. Like every single time something happens, like I transcended something by, I got that done.
No, exactly.
Like, you know, and women usually have to be like, no, I managed to, I mean, just to use the common American parlance, it's like, I managed to oversee your three progeny while also keeping the house that I manage running.
Yeah, exactly.
Feeding you and feeding myself and Ginger maintaining whatever image you want me to maintain of myself to, you know, like, it's absurd.
No, it's absurd, all of it. And it does, you know, Fleabag in season two has an incredible scene in which she's talking to the older woman who, you know, has just won the award for Woman in Business. And she kind of constructs, or she talks about how, like, you know, that women have pain built in from the very, like, you know, with just periods and childbirth and menopause and all this stuff that, like,
ew, don't bring, this is a clean,
that's
show,
gross. Yeah. Don't talk about all that stuff. And how, like, you know, men don't have that. And so they seek it out in war and football and all these other spaces. And, you know, I think you see that very clearly and very sincerely, especially when people start aging, like the frustration and anger that men have as they lose control over their bodies. And
gotta buy a Ferrari.
Yeah, I got to buy a Ferrari, or like, don't tell me I can't hang the Christmas lights this year, even though my hip just gave out and all that stuff, you know, like, because the idea of my body not being completely in my control and it being a thing that actually causes me pain and, like, difficulty, and it's built in all the time, it's very hard to adjust to. And I think that that's why, like, old guys are like, are so bad at aging, and they put themselves in stupid positions and fall, and, you know,
drive motorcycles. That's why I'm glad I had gimpy knees as a kid. Cause I learned pain young. I learned my body was my enemy right away. Bones not fully fused together.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
A little bump. People would just kick it.
Oh, no.
Those aren't your real friends, little Mike. Those are not your real friends.
Oh, little
that's a
Mike.
Story you can feel.
Ugh. Don't worry, little Mike. One day you'll grow up and you'll get married to 50 strippers, and they'll love you so much.
They'll never kick you in the knees.
They'll never kick you in the knees.
Except when you ask for it on the special night.
Them doms.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. So, 2 points each for Les Chos Francais Arbitraire.
Yay.
You're both tied now with 18 points, and we're going into the final topic.
Okay.
Kate.
Yes.
Do you have a vague idea about All About Eve?
Boy, do I have a vague idea of All About Eve. All About Eve is so cool. So all we have, that's my vague idea.
Cool.
So it's pretty fun. And, okay, so a vague idea about All About Eve. This is, I don't know when it came out. I'd imagine 50s. Early 40s. No, I think it's early 40s. I'm trying to think if it's pre-war. Because it stars Bette Davis. Bette Davis. Bette Davis. Eve Arden, young Marilyn Monroe actually has like a cameo at one point. And it's the story of an actress of true skill having to figure out what it is to be an aging woman in an industry that is all about consuming and defiling and destroying women.
Isn't it's a little single white female, right? If I'm getting that correctly, where it's,
well, yeah, Eve, the idea of like you're Eve, my like, role model.
Yeah, Eve gloms on and says you're my role model, but she's actually like, it's one of those things where at first we meet Margot and think she's a monster, and then the more we see them hang out, we're like, oh, Eve is fucking you over and trying to swallow your talent and career.
Yeah, yeah,
that movie's awesome.
That movie's great. Oh my god. Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night. And she's got this incredible fur-lined collar on her dress. That counts. That counts as a vague idea about that this counts. Movie.
Sure does.
Yeah, it's great. It's. I mean, it's Bette Davis and Eve Arden both doing their thing as like at the top of their game. But Bette Davis was tailor-made to be the person, the resistance in the face of starlet culture. Like she was the first, she was the maverick who is like, I am undeniably sexy, not in a way that's built for consumption. And I am an actress who will be terrifying to men for the rest of my life. Yeah. And simultaneously awesome.
it's sweet that in that time period, they are tackling that's so early. Like, it's so weird how you look and they're like, oh, Hollywood lost a lot of the things it was trying to deal with early on.
Yeah.
Because she, in 1950 or 40, pre-war, we can agree.
Pre-war.
That
pre-war on terror.
It's tackling, I mean, terror will always stay. So we're always pre-war.
Yeah, you're right.
That they're tackling the aging star and everything already back then and treating her like a human, which we would not see again. I don't know,
for a while, but I think that speaks to the talent of Bette Davis, or not even just the talent, also her like agency in choosing her own roles, because she was not only able to truly deliver on like, I'm a fully formed and on some level spiritually emancipated woman navigating a space that you have dictated that's fundamentally unfair and toxic to me, but I'm going to be like this pillar of strength in the face of that. And she does that. It looks like so many different things, from now Voyager to All About Eve to Baby Jane. You know, like she's a master of like of Jezebel, of being empowered in her unlikability and how you can't just consume her and spit her back out. I do think Bette Davis is actually kind of the prototype of the anti-starlet in that way. I know. Didn't that just resonate as true?
Yeah.
You
just slipped
in like you really laid on.
In
there. Hard concluding paragraph to that essay.
Yeah. Just thanks, boom. Man. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think this movie is particularly compelling because you compare it to something like Sunset Boulevard, where we're approaching a similar thing, which is an aging actress who is no longer in the spotlight or is coming out of the spotlight. And Sunset Boulevard really kind of focuses on the descent into madness that is so cliche with the way women are depicted throughout most of the, you know, forever until last year in all of media.
And we've solved it now.
We got woke last year.
Oh, yeah, we totally got it. Yeah,
no, watch the doc.
It's going to be just fine. So, yeah, the movie's got Bette Davis in it. It's got Anne Baxter. Is who plays Eve Harrington.
I kept saying Eve Arden. Anne Baxter is the correct truth. Yeah.
That's legit. It came out in 1950.
So yeah, I was wrong.
Way to be
I know
wrong,
nothing about this movie.
Asshole. Everything she said stricken from the record. Don't
Eve Arden it. Before yeah. World War II. Yeah, no, it's 1950.
I think it was
Davis,
Arden
Baxter.
Mirren, actually.
Arden Mirren.
Oh yeah. The comedian.
Actress, comedian.
Yeah.
Comedian.
But yeah, I mean, it's literally.
Yeah, you're right. I think everything I had to say about Bette Davis stands.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
But everything else is wrong.
It does unfortunately have to be stripped from the record.
It does have to be stripped from the record. That is true.
No, none of the good that you've done.
Yeah, my testimony does not count.
You should have kept simple like me, where old girl versus young girl, young girl manipulate.
Yeah, exactly. Painting broad strokes.
But yeah, it's really, if you have not seen it, listeners, like you have to see this movie. You might think, oh, it's a movie from 1950 and that sounds boring. It is not.
You're
it is
boring.
One of the most riveting movies that has ever existed. And it is just, I mean, it's perfect drama.
It's perfect. It's perfect like, it's drama.
It's a thriller.
Yeah.
It's a psychological thriller. It's so many things. And it's so just good. Like, you won't notice
Anne Baxter,
that you're learning anything.
Anne Baxter / Eve Arden. Anne Baxter and Bette Davis are so incredibly powerful in that movie. You know,
they
just
both nommied.
They should have been. I don't know.
14 Academy Award nominations.
Whew, that's
a lot. It's the only film in Oscar history to receive 4 female acting nominations. Davis and Baxter as best actress, Holm and Ritter as best supporting actress. Only time that's happened.
I do think it's funny that Marilyn Monroe makes a cameo, a very early cameo in that movie, given the context of Starlet, right?
Yeah,
like,
this whole, you know,
she's about to all
she's
about
part
eat
of
somebody.
A new wave.
Yeah,
of,
yeah.
Who's taking over for Bette
Yeah,
Davis.
And she is just like, who's going to get me a drink? Like the blonde person on the arm of some of exec, right? Like, and for the reality to be this film being like a conversation about women in this industry and their relationship to each other and their relationship to their own consumption. And then having Marilyn Monroe, the standout bombshell in her very early stages of career, like the patron saint of fame, you know what I mean? Like the patron saint of starlets worldwide. That's a cool little, just like, that's a cool,
fun
this
meta.
Is a fun little meta moment for that movie.
Well, yeah. And she's emblematic of the men in the background of that movie who are acting in concert to lift Eve up, right?
Yeah.
When they see what Eve's capable of, all of the men shift over and just start, they stop backing Margot, start backing Eve. And that's exactly what happens with Marilyn Monroe, right? Like she's her star is lifted until a point where it's like, oh, well, you're too difficult to work with at this point because
you
clearly have issues that we created for you, but we don't fix stuff we break. We just throw
Exactly. We don't fix stuff we break, I think, is actually kind of the ethos behind Hollywood's relationship to their starlets. Sorry. Yeah. We did that to you, but we're not dealing with it.
I think that's a good note to end on.
And on that note, on that ha 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 ha.
Isn't it hilarious how we just ruin women?
It's just, man, you guys.
Oh, you shucks. Guys. That's, shucks.
So really tough to score All About Eve. I'm going to give Kate 3 points. Kate, you really, you had a lot. You write about everything except for
Eve Arden.
Eve Arden, which, and 1940.
And 1940. Those are two big things, but those are freaking, those are men's facts. I always write about the woman's facts.
Yeah, it's not the
men's facts are like, I can IMDb and it's just
exactly.
Like my head forever.
Exactly. Men's facts are dates and times. That's all they know. Names and dates. They wrote history. That's why they're so into it.
Yeah,
you guys did.
Once told in a creative writing class that I used footnotes like a man and I should use them more like a woman to make my piece stronger. And I was just like, I got to think about this.
Whoa, that's a crazy critique. That's a great note.
Mike,
thank you.
I'm going to give you 2 points.
Fair.
That's right. That's fair. I should win this.
And what that means is that Kate wins with 21 points.
Yeah, baby. Age of consent.
Which it's also the age that starlets cease to be of use.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, you're right.
Cast them off.
Age of consent to us not caring about you anymore.
We consent to hurt you now.
21, she's a woman.
We don't have any use for those.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, Kate, what do you have to plug? Plug something as the winner.
So currently we are in development of season 2 of my podcast hosted with my dear friend Daniel Tompkins. Movies I'd Like to Fix, nicknamed MILF. We just wrapped up season 1, in which we broke down the mini genre revisionist westerns. We watched 10 revisionist westerns. We took their best parts, we discarded their worst, and we built the perfect revisionist western screenplay. And season 2, we're embarking on a whole other mini subgenre.
Can you give us a sclusie?
I can't give you a full-on sclusie, but I can tell you that it's going to be a really good season because we're going to do a whole genre reveal thing. And so yeah, season 2 of MILF coming out within the next month. We're going to start embarking on it. We're doing recordings right now. Other than that, nothing that would concern any of you people. So
stay out of my business.
Stay out of my life.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, Listeners, if you want Kate's personal contact information, I'll put it in the show notes. Don't worry. You can get in her.
You can get me. Yeah, you can get me at Instagram at kate.dellis.funny.kind or on Instagram at kate_Dellis. Twitter. Whatever.
Yeah, any of those places. Just
Google Kate Dellis. I'm the copywriter who went to Barnard. You'll find me.
Mike, anything you want to plug?
Yes. The newest podcast of the Pop Filter family. My wife and I have one. It's called Doing Bits, a Love Island podcast. We are going week by week through series 7 of the UK Love Island. And it is a lot of fun to watch these 20-somethings make stupid mistakes.
Do any of them drown? Is that what happens on Love Island?
No, that would be horrifying. And now I'm kind of sad. No, I really grow attached to these characters. And I do call these rowdy show people characters. I don't want any of them to drown. I just want them to learn their lessons.
Well, good. Yeah, that's great. I'm excited you have that new show.
I don't have enough. Everybody who looks at me is like, you probably need more podcasts.
Yeah, you really don't spend enough time recording,
watching things and talking about the things.
No one does.
I'm just ensuring that when I die, because what did I say? 56 seems like a long time. So when I die early, you can recreate me on the internet.
Yeah, you'll be just like Anthony Bourdain in the documentary where they
made him
narrate his own life.
What if he said this once?
What if he said this once is a very dangerous game to play?
I mean, we got a whole bunch of stuff about terrorism in here, so this is
that's
be a field
true. That's
day.
True. It'll be fun to figure that all out.
Thank you both so much for being on the show again. This was great.
Thank you, Nate, for having us. Thank you for working with my crazy schedule. I'm very, very, very happy to be back on the show.
Kate, we're glad you didn't get struck by lightning. Let's not explain that to the listeners.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, listeners, Kate could have been struck by lightning the day before we recorded this episode, but we chose to let her live because unlike the Hollywood we've been discussing this whole evening, we value Kate's life and even her momentary happiness as well as her long-term existence.
And I really appreciate that.
I think we could have got a better performance from her if we heard her a little more and made it through the lightning.
Have we given her any uppers today? Let's see if that'll do something.
Yeah. We'll do some come and see stuff and really just make sure that you're not going to be in danger, but you're going to be very dangerous.
There will be real bullets flying 4 inches above your head.
Yeah. It'll be bad.
Thank you, Nate, for having us. This is right. And I cannot wait for our next episode, War on Terror.
We're going to talk about the War on Terror next time. Yeah, it's going to be the funniest episode of a vague idea.
The most funny episode. Yes, exactly.
It's just going to be like, do you have a vague idea about the body count on this day?
And it's like, almost certainly not. Tell me, sir. And it'll be bleak.
I'm just going to read a list of names for an hour.
Exactly. God.
But it's not just the people who voted for it. That's the twist.
Yeah.
And because special guest M. Night Shyamalan will be here to present that twist.
Yes. Classic. Mm-hmm. M. Night. How is he doing lately? I haven't seen any of his movies.
He made a new movie called Old.
Is it good?
I don't know. I've heard decent things about it.
It's speech that makes people go old.
I mean, it is the true. It's the original terror.
Yeah. Sun. Yeah. I think it's old and die. Weathering.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You described it. All men are just fearing old.
Yeah, it's true. That is men don't have a monopoly on that experience.
Well, no, but
I think it's a little harder for men to age than women.
I mean, we're held to pretty insane beauty standards, I just have to say. First wrinkle pops up, it's like you can't even work anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Put in the back.
Listeners, if you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. It really helps us out. You can also check out the other podcasts on our network. We have Roll for Blank, Streets of Mage, which is our Dungeons and Dragons podcast that is currently in its exciting new season with all sorts of turkey and apple eating and lots of dice rolling and horrible jokes. Horrible, horrible jokes. There's also Funky Spunk, our Sex and the City podcast that Kate will be on at some point.
I hope to be.
Well, I put you in touch with Zimmy. Britt and Zimmy are going to be back recording.
Remind Zimmy that I did in fact sign something at some point.
Oh, you signed the agreement.
Yeah, I signed the agreement. Yeah. Watch out, Apple.
So check that show out when they come back. They're going to be back from hiatus very soon. There's a whole lot to listen to. And then we also have the Hard Pick Mining Company, which covers the Denver Nuggets, who aren't playing basketball right now, but they will be. And so the guys will talk about them again. And Otherwise, check out Michael J. O'Connor's music, michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com. He wrote our theme song. He's fantastic. And yeah, I think at this point, just generally, get vaccinated if you're not vaccinated, please.
Yeah.
We'd like to stop doing this ride. Like, this is like we've been on the teacups for a really long time and we all want to barf.
Yeah, so exactly.
We're just kind of holding Stockholm on to syndrome. That corn dog.
Now I'm into it.
Yeah. Now just like, no.
Never leaving
life.
My apartment.
Now I'm like, no, I want masks in my apartment and I don't want my world to be any bigger.
I mean, that's kind of where we're heading. We have all had a vague idea about starlets this week, and that is a good thing because the devil is in the details. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, Ms. Shannon Page, and sometimes John Peros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Space Boy books at readspaceboy.com.